Hello and welcome everybody here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News. Our top story for this half hour, the Israeli military intensifies its attacks against Lebanon with fresh strikes targeting civilians and even UN bases in the country. Three Lebanese military forces were killed in an Israeli strike targeting an army intelligence center in southern Lebanon. Lebanese officials say at least eight others, including civilians, were wounded in the attack. The Israeli strikes also hit two UN-run bases in Shama and Ramia in the south, leaving four UN peacekeepers wounded. The Italian defense minister blamed Israel for the attacks. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has confirmed one of its soldiers was killed and nearly a dozen others injured in an exchange of fire with Hezbollah fighters. The Israeli strikes killed at least 28 Lebanese and injured over 100 others in a matter of 24 hours since October of last year. At least 3,544 people have been killed in Israeli attacks in Lebanon. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has launched new drone attacks against Israeli military targets deep inside the occupied territories. Israeli media reported that several drones from Lebanon entered occupied territory, striking a military base in the western Galilee region. Footage revealed damage to the base and air raid sirens sounded along the Lebanese border as far as the occupied city of Haifa. Additionally, clashes occurred between Hezbollah fighters and Israeli troops in southern Lebanon as the regime's forces attempted to advance on Al-Bayada near the city of Naqoura. Hezbollah also destroyed a Merkava tank with rockets there. The group has destroyed nearly 50 Merkava tanks and downed over a dozen advanced drones since the start of the regime's ground invasion last month. The resistance movement has also killed over 110 Israeli soldiers and injured more than 1,050 in the same period. Mariam Saleh is joining us now from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, with all the latest developments regarding the ongoing Israeli aggression on Lebanon and also the retaliatory attacks that are taking place by the Lebanese resistance, Hezbollah. Mariam?
Well, Bardi, in addition to the attack on the intelligence base for the Lebanese army, we know that there was another vehicle for the Lebanese army that came under attack in the area of Burj al Maluk, which is very close to the city of Khiyam in south Lebanon. At first, we had only three Lebanese soldiers wounded. We know now that one of those soldiers has been killed and after sustaining, of course, severe wounds. And so that raises the death toll of the number of Lebanese army soldiers that were killed and officers as well as a result of the Israeli aggressions that are directly targeting the Lebanese army as well. This also comes at a time when we hear, of course, from the political side in Lebanon saying that the Lebanese army requires more assistance and needs to be backed up when it comes to weapons in order to be able to take on the defense of Lebanon at the border. We also had another attack in the areas of Dar'anun Ras Al Ain. There were no recorded casualties in addition to some phosphorus bombing all across the southern towns, especially the border towns, and even further away. Now, there has been some cautious calm here in Beirut, in southern suburbs of Beirut, except for yesterday in the morning when there was an attack in the area of Shayah without warning, actually, that led to the killing of two people. But, of course, there are sporadic attacks by the Israelis in various areas. And it seems that there was another van, actually, which is being used by paramedics because of the fact that all their ambulance cars have been targeted and have almost completely been destroyed. We have the paramedics in South Lebanon having to use any vehicle at hand. We have another vehicle that was also struck by an Israeli drone. Fortunately, also we do not have a casualty, except we have, of course, wounded, but there are no mortars as a result of that attack. Of course, Hezbollah has maintained that they will continue to retaliate for these Israeli aggressions. Hezbollah also issued a detailed statement and explanation of the latest round of confrontations, especially the close-quarter combat at the border. And it seems that based on experts, the Israelis are attempting to isolate some towns like, for example, Naqoura, like Khayyam, to try to create this buffer zone, which up until now they have not succeeded in. The Israeli military spokesperson has said that one Israeli soldier from the Kafir unit has been killed by Hezbollah forces at the border. And of course, you mentioned the casualties that were issued by Hezbollah. They said more than 110 Israeli soldiers and officers that were killed. And that is only in the ground invasion and the confrontations that are taking place at the border.
All right, thanks a lot, Mariam Pasala, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. More Palestinians are killed in the Gaza Strip as the Israeli military continues to pound the blockaded territory with air and artillery strikes. Israeli air raids on the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza resulted in at least 12 deaths and a number of injuries. Over 10 people are reportedly missing. The regime's warplanes also targeted Beit Lahia in the north as well as Gaza City, causing several fatalities. In the Sabra neighborhood, an Israeli attack led to several deaths, including a spokesperson for the Palestinian Civil Defense, who had repeatedly condemned the regime's deliberate attacks on rescue workers. Since the onset of Israel's genocidal war in October of last year, 87 rescue workers have been killed. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, the overall death toll now stands at nearly 44,000. Over 104,000 Gazans have also been injured. The World Health Organization has expressed grave concern for hospitals still partly operating in Gaza more than 1 year into the U.S.-Israeli genocide there. WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris says getting medical aid and also specialist personnel into the Palestinian territory is getting harder and harder. She said the U.N. body was particularly concerned about the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, northern Gaza, where Israeli forces launched an offensive last month. The hospital's director says the situation in northern Gaza is that of, quote, an extreme catastrophe. Over the past 6 weeks, Israel has blocked the entry of food, water, medical staff, and materials into the northern Gaza Strip. Eric Wahlberg, author and journalist from Toronto, Canada, believes that Israel is after a gradual elimination of the Palestinian population in Gaza as part of a plan to set up colonies of settlers in the besieged strip.
The destruction of Gaza, this is an Israeli plan to put colonies of settlers back in Gaza. And just to keep reducing the Palestinian population just until it disappears. This seems to be it's a slow motion genocide is what Israel would be less offended when we call it genocide if we just explain that's it's not as bad as immediate genocide. They say we're not doing it all at once. So it's just total cynicism, and it doesn't really. It's part of U.S. Israel, and you know the Zionists. They have the ideology implanted in really the collective West. The Jews are the chosen people, and they deserve this land. That's the way the Bible. Has distorted reality or distorted history and turned history against itself.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas slams as a criminal act the new round of U.S. sanctions against a number of its leaders. Hamas has said the move reflects Washington's support for Israel. It said the sanctions are based on false information and seek to distort the image of Palestinian groups' leadership. The group accused the Biden administration of ignoring the Palestinians' rights and providing cover for Israeli genocide. It called on Washington to end its bias towards Israel and pressure the regime to stop its aggression against Palestinians. On Tuesday, the U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions on six Hamas leaders, accusing them of involvement in the group's fundraising and arms acquisition efforts. A group of U.S. senators has called on Washington to end its arms sales to Israel amid the regime's killing campaign in Gaza. Several progressive senators have condemned the United States for complicity in what they called atrocities by the Israeli regime in Gaza. The representatives expressed their opposition at a press conference ahead of a vote on the U.S. military support for Israel. They put forth a resolution condemning the U.S. arms sales to Israel. The lawmakers denounce the ongoing Israeli aggression and the civilian deaths in Gaza, which happen with U.S. weapons and American taxpayer money. The U.S. has remained a staunch supporter of Israel, providing at least $12.5 billion in direct military aid to Israel since the regime unleashed its genocidal war on Gaza in October last year. At least 5 Palestinians have been killed and several others wounded in fresh Israeli raids into the city of Jenin and the occupied West Bank. Elsewhere, Israeli forces demolished Palestinian buildings, including a mosque, as part of the regime's demolition campaign in the occupied Al-Quds. Nara Hamed, our Ramallah correspondent, updates us on the latest IOF aggression in the West Bank.
This morning, three Palestinians resistance fighters were executed from gunpoint length by the IOF after besieging them inside a house. Later that in the same day, the same IOF raiding forces targeted yet another resistance fighter group, assassinating Rami Al-Hasfouzi and Charis Jasser in Qabatia town, raising the total number of the Palestinian martyrs today to 5 Palestinians in Jenin area. And the total number of the wounded Palestinians into the West Bank is actually 10 Palestinians, 9 in Jenin, and 1 Palestinian young man was shot in Shafat crossing point. And the PCRS also has said and has announced that the IOF has fired live ammunition directly to the medical teams and to the ambulances inside Jenin. Yet another hotspot over here in the West Bank today actually was occupied Al-Quds, where there has been a large acceleration in the demolishing campaign directed by the regime and to the suburbs of Al-Quds, where multiple buildings and a mosque was demolished today in occupied Al-Quds.
That's Hadi. Foreign Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al-Thani is set to visit Tehran to hold talks with Iranian officials. During the trip, Al-Thani, who is also serving as Qatar's prime minister, will discuss bilateral and regional issues with Iranian officials, including Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi. Earlier in August, the top Qatari diplomat traveled to Iran to discuss issues of mutual interest and regional development. Iran and Qatar maintain strong relations, as Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian has vowed to seriously pursue efforts to boost bilateral ties with neighboring countries. The 10th Iran-Qatar Joint Economic Cooperation Commission is also scheduled to be held next month in Doha. Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, has condemned new sanctions by the UK and the European Union targeting the country's shipping lines as unjustified and provocative. Araghchi issued the condemnation in a phone call with his French counterpart, Jean-Noël Barrot. Also in the phone conversation, Araghchi criticized an anti-Iran resolution by Germany, France, and the UK at the IAEA Board of Governors meeting. According to diplomatic sources, the European Troika has submitted the resolution. Araghchi said the move is contrary to the positive atmosphere between Iran and the IAEA. Earlier, Araghchi took to his ex social media platform to slam the new anti-Iran sanctions, which he said reflected the West's double standards. Meanwhile, Iran summoned the UK chargé d'affaires as well as the Hungarian ambassador, whose country holds the EU's rotating presidency, to lodge official protests. The EU and the UK blacklisted Iran's shipping lines and its director under the pretext of sending ballistic missiles to Russia. Tehran has repeatedly denied the accusation. Author and journalist Robert Fantina earlier joined us to weigh in on the recent sanctions by the European Union and Britain against Iran.
Their objective is to cripple the Iranian economy, to bring unrest to the Iranian government so that there will be what the U.S. always refers to as regime change. They don't recognize the fact that the people of Iran are proud of their revolution, they're proud of their nation, and they know that any economic difficulties that are occurring are the result of U.S. aggression being implemented right now by the EU and the U.K., but it all goes back to U.S. aggression. It's not because of mismanagement, it's not because of Iranian government corruption, none of that. It's because of outside forces that simply want to overthrow the Iranian government so one can be installed, such as the U.S. did in the 50s when it installed the brutal Shah of Iran after overthrowing a democratically elected government of Iran, so that the Iranian government will simply do its bidding and end any resistance to the oppression of the Palestinian people or the aggression against the people of Lebanon, Yemen, Syria, anywhere else, if the United States is able to establish and set up a public government in Israel, in Iran that will do its bidding, then those problems will not happen. The United States doesn't realize that that is not going to happen.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Yani?
Bazaar.
If you look around, nearly every object you see is made of raw material extracted from a mine. Basically, if you can't grow it, you have to mine it. The extraction of minerals, metals, and fuels from the ground is one of humankind's oldest industries. Never more than now has society been so dependent on greater variety and larger volumes of mined products. So it's no surprise that mining fuels our modern world and makes economies grow. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Ali Reza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we will be exploring the mining industry while shining the spotlight on the machinery used in this sector. We wanted to see what types of machines are used and who is actively manufacturing them. Plus, we wanted to understand why the mining sector is crucial to the national economy and how manufacturers contribute to its progress. Our quest for answers led us to Shahrud city in Semnan province, where we visited a company specializing in manufacturing various mining machines. With nearly 20 years of experience, this knowledge-based company is active in a host of fields. It conducts research, development, and production of equipment needed in various industries. That being said, it also manufactures a variety of excavating, drilling, trenching, and digging machines. The life of any product begins in the design room. This company has researched and developed these machines and has perfected their performance. Optimizing the machine size, speed, and power to carry out tasks has also reduced the expenses related to projects where these machines are used. These machines can be used in agriculture and road maintenance, among other medium-scale construction projects. Most materials needed to make these machines can be purchased inside Iran. Steel sheets, gears, wires, and whatever else is required to build the machine can be domestically found. And if a design requires a particular part, this company can make its own molds to create the parts. You might find it interesting that these machines are currently imported, as there is a high demand among mining companies for equipment. So, indigenizing the production of mining machines has been a big step towards supporting this sector. Another benefit to local production is it saves the country millions by cutting back on imports. The beating heart of this knowledge-based company is its research and development department. Here is where all the magic happens. This area employs some of the most talented and experienced specialists to research, design products, and optimize existing ones. But that's not all. The research and development department also studies future projects. This company also dabbles in making equipment used to harness renewable energy. This company not only uses its own expert staff, but also stays up to date on the latest knowledge by maintaining links with the Industrial University of Shahrud. It collaborates with academic institutions and exchanges knowledge with them too. Furthermore, this knowledge firm also uses capacities and resources made available by Semnan Tech Park. Among its services, it offers the execution of projects through contracting. For example, it has used its machines to complete piping and installation of telecommunications manholes for intercity networks. Another example is carving drainage systems in agricultural fields using its trenchers. Over the years, this company has made a variety of award-winning machines, such as drilling machines equipped with fiber optic lights. Moreover, this company has invented 6 products that have been internationally patented. This knowledge-based manufacturer has never stopped eyeing the future and has plans to expand its production units and product portfolio in the coming years. The company we just mentioned is part of the puzzle that helps Iran's mining sector thrive. It is one of Iran's key industries, as the country is one of the top 10 mineral-rich nations globally. Roughly 7% of global mineral reserves can be found in Iran, making it one of the most important mineral producers in the world. Numbers from Iran's Trade Promotion Organization show that last year the sector saw a growth in exports. Government officials, however, say export figures could still be much higher. Furthermore, efforts have been placed on encouraging research and production in knowledge-based firms to increase specialized production, such as mining machines, in the market. And here is where knowledge-based companies play a big role. Okay, time for me to take a little break from here and divert your attention to a report that I made earlier in the week. Welcome to another special feature of Bazaar. Today, we are discussing energy production, specifically electricity production through gas turbines and some of the problems that come with it. So, at different times of the year, mainly during the summer, we get sporadic blackouts at peak hours, at one of the peak hours, let's say around 12 at noon until 4 to 5 p.m. Because we cannot store electricity, electricity production must always match electricity consumption. But because of the temperature during these hours, during this time of the year, during the summer, high temperatures in particular, negatively affect electricity production through gas turbines. So first we're going to take a look at, well, why that is and how gas turbines work. And also, we believe that we have found a solution at Sharif Innovation Center in one of the companies that has made that solution. And we're going to check that out too. Why do high temperatures negatively affect the performance of a gas turbine? Well, bear with me as I try to explain how a gas turbine works through this prototype that they have here. This is the prototype of the device that would be used at scale. This is not at scale. So imagine this is the gas turbine. How it works is that it sucks air through these air ducts, and the temperature of that air is very important. I'm going to get back to that. The air goes through a compressor here. The compressor compresses the air, which we would need the compressed air for the combustion chamber. A combustion chamber essentially makes this work exactly like a plane engine or a car engine. A car engine is slightly different because the movement that it produces is linear, whereas the plane engine has rotary movement. So that's exactly what it is like, because it produces rotary movement. So in the combustion chamber, we add a certain type of gas to the compressed air, and then a little spark creates an explosion, and the explosion, the high pressure air, would then spin our turbines. And the turbines, which have movement in them, are connected to a generator, and the generator's job is to turn movement into electricity, which goes through the power grid and then gets to whoever needs it. Now, the thing here, the important thing about the air temperature is that we need ideal conditions, ideally, for the machine to work at peak performance. And that ideal condition is at sea level 15 degrees Celsius. So the air, ideally, is 15 degrees Celsius, but we don't get that kind of temperature in a lot of places, especially in a hot and dry climate. So We have a couple of options to alleviate that problem. Number one, the inefficient option is to work the compressor a lot more, which would use a lot more energy, but that's not even the issue. The issue is that there's a lot easier of a way. So what they have found at TEPCO company is that they have instead tried to use an ice storage unit to work as a thermal storage compartment, because the thermal storage capacity of ice is 100 times more than that of the water. So here they create ice essentially at midnight until the morning when no one is using the power and the air is colder, because that is what happens. The difference between temperatures during the day and temperatures during the night in dry climates is pretty massive. So it's a lot easier to create the ice during that time. So they do that so that in the morning or at noon during peak hours, 12 p.m. to like 4 or 5 p.m., they have the ice to cool the water that is in the storage, and the cooled water goes through a radiator behind the air duct so that the air, the probably hot air that comes through the chamber, is cooled using the water that is in the ice storage compartment. That water cools the air down to like 15 degrees and gives us ideal conditions to work with. So the compressor doesn't need to work that hard. We get our ideal conditions through the ice storage unit. And that is how they are able to offset the amount of electricity that we would lose if we were to use the compressor a lot harder. And that's pretty much how a gas turbine works as well, but also this is the innovation here. A better way to cool the air and get a gas turbine to work at peak performance. There are other less efficient methods of cooling the water that comes through the chamber. Both of them are called evaporative cooling. The first type is done through a wet media, most likely a cooling pad that you see in water coolers everywhere. So how it works is that there is a lot of surface and they run water through it, and the air is going to go through this cooling pad. So as the air goes through the cooling pad, the water absorbs the heat from the air and evaporates. Evaporation is an endothermic procedure, which is heat absorbing, which means that the heat is absorbed from the air and transferred to the water, which evaporates, making the air that runs through the cooling pad a lot cooler. This is a rather wasteful method because, well, you're using water, because in the method that I showed you, you don't use water. The water is just circulated back into the system. This one, you use water, and it's just generally not that efficient. The other method is even more inefficient. You see it in a lot of places in like outdoors restaurants. They spray water through the air that is going to go through the chamber, and the extremely tiny water droplets absorb the heat from the air and evaporate as they are sprayed. This also absorbs heat from the air, and that is why when you go through the spray of water, you feel a cool breeze, because the air is a lot cooler, because its heat is transferred to the water molecules. So both of these methods are pretty inefficient, and I just wanted you to know about other methods that are used, but they are definitely more inefficient. And the chart is a demonstration of how our thermal storage system would perform in an actual 400 megawatt hour power plant system. When the ice is getting used during in midday, it bumps up the production by a difference of 60 megawatts in a regular 400 megawatt hour power plant. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field, who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find the stress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out. Felt, or so-called Namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with Felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem. How is the process towards the solution. And what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space. All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is a heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in. It's bye for now.
Collection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to this series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi, and this is IRIB English Radio. Previously, we have been talking about the ideal illustrated image of the ideal Islamic family in the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that the primary fact and primary pillar of this image is communicative worship, and we said that this is going to be displayed and manifest in different occasions of the holy book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves that with throughout these pieces of evidence. In the last episode, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since you are following the path of your Lord, and since the devil is a very determined enemy, in order to harm you, to hurt you, he is using every means of temptation in order to make you retreat or forget the right path. And one of those means are the children and spouses. إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوٌّ لَكُمْ. There are some enemies within your family. Not in every family, but sometimes. So although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said at the beginning, at the very beginning of the discussion about the family, I said that the base of the family in Islamic parlance is love and affection and the heart relationship. I said that there must be وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implanted the love within your hearts. That's right. But it does not mean that, okay, that is the ultimate goal of the marriage. As I said several times, that the ultimate goal, the culmination of marriage, is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by worshipping, we mean servitude, to follow His instructions, to obey Him. So, therefore, there might be some occasions in which we think that we have some assistance for being the servants, true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We face otherwise. We face this case that, okay, sometimes we love some of the enemies of my religion. As at the beginning of the history of Islamic society, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's go to the verse 24 of chapter Tawbah after a short break.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جليل راقب مجيب
قَيُّومٌ رَؤُوفٌ صَبُورٌ مَجِيدٌ اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Welcome back, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi, and this is IRIB English Radio. We have come to verse 24 of chapter Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter and in this verse displays a very hard occasion, a kind of dilemma. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes you might be stuck in a dilemma and struggle with a very hard situation. And that is the case in which you are following your religious instructions, but your family, your relatives, your sometimes parents, children, spouse, they are opposing you and your ideology. They are opponents. So, in this dilemma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a true believer is the one who chooses the right path, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other than his family, his relatives. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها. The houses, the wealth, and your relative, your fathers, your spouses, your children, if they are more loved by you and are your beloved to the extent that you are ready to prefer them and choose them other than the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means that you are not the true servants. And you have to wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that this is the case of choice. As at the first age of Islamic age, I'm sure you know about that, that when Prophet Muhammad was the prophet among the people, there were some cases in which a son was in the Muslims' army while his father was in the next, in the opposing party. And sometimes vice versa. Sometimes man is in one party and his spouse, woman, is another. Like Pharaoh and his wife. And sometimes vice versa. Nuh and his wife. Lut and his wife. So these are very important. This is a kind of spiritual connection. Spiritual connection is much more significant than the material or blood relationship. We will talk about that case later more. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Is all I'm hoping for. Oh Allah, make my wishes come true. Jannah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Jannah.
lullaby, my darling. Lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. My roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since some of thee inside my aching heart, some of thee inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The Iranian foreign minister warns of a proportionate response as the UK, France, and Germany submit an anti-Iran resolution to to the IAEA ahead of the Board of Governors meeting. Israel's relentless air and artillery strikes claim more civilian lives in Gaza, pushing the regime's genocide war death toll to nearly 43,000. And Hezbollah targets Israeli positions deep inside the occupied territories as